You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your host, George Papazov.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast, helping you develop the winning mindset of professional traders. I am your host, George Papazov. If you have not already done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And if you're not a member in our free trading room, join us now at community.tradeproacademy.com and trade with their team every single day. In today's show, I'm going to share with you something really personal and deep, and not something many people know about my journey into trading and just overall in my life. I had a gambling problem, you know, which became very quickly a trading problem, and early on in my career too. And I know this is an area that very few people talk about, because it really requires you to stop and think and have a deep reflection inward. And you need to have the ability to view yourself as someone who can improve and in fact needs to improve, which can be really tough for someone who truly believes that they could come back if they just have one more shot. Gamblers often value the chance more than the money or the result itself. And this is what makes things tough and difficult. And this is what we're going to unpack in today's episode. And I'm excited to do that and share a personal story with you. All right, so let's begin. You know, prior to 2015, I always considered myself to be what we call a rational person. You know, I was of the belief that logical thinking, you know, data analysis would really lead to the best decision when conflicted with the need to make a decision, which is what trading really, in essence, is. It's all about decision making. My father was an electrical engineer, and my first education was in electromechanical engineering technology. You know, I followed the footsteps. Essentially, that's basically robotics. So, you know, what I really believed is that I could think my way through and out of just about anything, right? Because I was a logical level thinker. Thinking was really my meal ticket to anything that I wanted early on. That's how I perceived the ability to think rationally, all right? And I didn't really believe that I was smarter than anyone. At this point, I just believed I was smart enough to make something for myself and out of myself. So my relationship with risk-taking was a pretty neutral one. You know, I thought of myself as somebody who's comfortable taking risk, but only if it was worth it, because I relied and depended on my logic to help protect me and, you know, to help me make the right decisions, to guide me through life, if you will. In reality, though, you know, what was happening is that I had a gambling issue that would surface only in my trading, or I would really perceive it the most when I was trading. And, you know, this thing hurt me really badly. On a single day of impulse trading, you know, I would end up chasing the markets, get myself stuck in positions, and, you know, really get myself in trouble. This is the reality of it. And in protection, or in order to protect myself, because logically I knew I had to do something about this, for myself, I created a lot of rules. Rules on risk management, rules on how I would live my life, rules on drawdowns, rules on everything you could think about, all right? Rules on how I thought, rules on my impulse, rules on my emotional management. And so there were a lot of rules which I followed, but, you know, deep down, there was still this issue, there was still this problem that I valued the chance of the next trade more than the outcome of it. All right, and that in itself is gambling. But luckily, when it comes to work, I've been blessed to be, you know, naturally disciplined and extremely focused on achieving my goals. Like, when I lock my sight into something, I'm going for it and I'm going full steam ahead, and nothing stood in my way. So I was able to follow these rules. I was able to plug this hole of, you know, the need to, or really the satisfaction of gambling. But deep down in my mind, there's always a temptation to gamble in futures, with anything in my life, in the market, you know, to hit it big. And I was truly okay with making $100,000 or losing the same. Because at the end of the day, I looked at it as just money. And the money wasn't what I was getting out of this thing. It was the ability to always have that next chance. That in turn was my reward. The money wasn't really a measurement of my success. And it took me a really long time to get to the point to realize that, you know, longer than it takes most people at Trade Pro Academy. But you got to understand, when I started trading in 2001, there wasn't much education. There wasn't much community. It was kind of a free-for-all. And, you know, at the time, the markets weren't even electronic for the most part. Forex or currency trading was one of the things that was available, which is where I started. All right. It took me a while to figure out the cause of this problem really deep down. All right. It was dangerous. And no amount of thinking or no amount of rational power would have really helped me to fix this issue. So in 2016, now this is where, and I know it's recent, but this was really a turning point in my trading and in my life. And the reason being is I finally was able to overcome that gambling side where, yeah, hey, I still have rules that I need to follow. And this isn't to say I didn't have bad days, but I overcame it because I now became in charge of myself and in my trading. And I didn't need as many rules because it became natural. I changed my perception. I changed my beliefs in the market. So what happened in 2016? Why was that a turning point? Not just in trading, but in my life. A lot of good things happened to me after 2016. I started my journey with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I went out to California on my wife's advice and or suggestion. Said, hey, I'm doing these courses. Why don't you come and take them with me? And I got certified as a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming over two trips to California. It was expensive. It wasn't cheap, but it was fun. And immediately I was hooked. I knew that NLP was the thing that will help me settle this problem once and for all. And not just gambling, but anything. I knew that I now will have the toolkit to overcome, reprogram, and change anything about myself. All right, that I needed to. And more importantly, I had the tools that allowed me to track the information, which is my logical brain, the tools to understand when I needed alignment, when I needed complete adjustment, and when I just needed to blow everything up and start again. All right, and that was the most important learning lesson. I opened up my subconscious mind. I opened up the ability to access my subconscious mind, which is 99.996% of your whole brain, and consciously picked it apart. Little by little, all right? I got the chance to reprogram my bad habits out of my mind, out of my habits, out of my environment, out of my beliefs, and step into an abundant and success mindset that, you know, I desired and I truly believe that I deserved. So with that being said, here's what I learned about gambling in connection to trading. And then I'll give you a list of seven things, because we love lists in the Mind Over Markets podcast, seven things that I changed in my trading to overcome my problem with gambling, all right? So here's what I learned about gambling in connection to trading and a little bit of life as a whole, right? This is from a quote from a website called theconversation.com. And I'm going to read this to you verbatim. Repeated exposure to gambling and uncertainty can change how you respond to losing. Get this. Counterintuitively, in individuals with a gambling problem, losing money comes to trigger the rewarding release of dopamine almost to the same degree that winning does. As a result, in problem gamblers, losing sets off the urge to keep playing rather than the disappointment that might prompt you to walk away, a phenomenon known as chasing losses. All right, think about trading. How true does that ring to our relationship with what we're doing in trading? All right? Losing for gamblers, it turns out, is a motivation to keep playing. Let that sink in for a moment, because this is probably the first time you've heard this or maybe had a big realization. Losing money for gamblers is a motivation to keep playing. All right? That's huge. So really, the reward is not the profit. And, you know, the negativity isn't the loss. It's the fact that you can continue playing. It's the experience of trading that you're addicted to as a gambler, right? Why? Well, because your brain really craves dopamine at the end of the day. Dopamine is a burst of positivity. Dopamine is released in your system when things are going good, all right? And regardless of how it's created, your brain wants more of it. All right. For me personally, you know, on the days that I was down the most money, I viewed it as an opportunity. You know, for my analytical mind, it's like, hey, look, I'm down money. But I actually bought data for myself that would help me improve. I bought myself the ability to analyze something. That's what the loss represented. So it wasn't a loss of capital. It was an opportunity to be analytical with the data that that created, the losing of the capital. You know, so I could really give myself a chance to have something to think and analyze. Right? It fed my logical brain and my desire and need to analyze things, to go deep, to make conclusions, to think. Right? Now, if you think about this, thinking's important. How many times in our everyday life do we get to actually stop and think about something? Right? From the moment that that alarm clock rings, every single thing is a program you've already pre-written in your brain. I'm going to hit the alarm clock. I'm going to go and I'm going to have breakfast. After breakfast, I'm going to commute to work, or I'm going to go to the office, set my schedule. Then I'm going to answer emails. Then I'm going to do trading while I alt-tab and do my actual work. Then after that, I'm going to have to get some exercise. Then after that, I'm going to go pick up my kid from daycare or spend time watching TV or whatever. Then after that, I'm going to have to start cooking and making dinner. After dinner's done, I'm going to have to clean up. After I clean up, it's bedtime. So in that routine of your day, how many times do you get a chance to sit down and think? This is why thinking is addictive, because it gives you a window undisturbed to work on yourself. It gives you a window free of distraction. This is why logical people love logical conclusions. Because number one, it gives you the time to think about it. And number two, it gives you the satisfaction that the decision you're making is based on your own work, all right? It gives you progress. It gives you result. And it gives you the sense of accomplishment, right? But at the same time, the dopamine release after losing money, you know, from years of battling with this personally, it helped give my brain the drug that it was addicted to and needed. So behind gambling is actually a deeper problem of addiction, right? And this is the hard part to deal with, because, you know, in today's society, people are opening up about these things, addiction to painkillers and sports, addiction to social media. You know, Facebook has brain scientists, neurological scientists working behind the scenes trying to get you addicted. That's why they have that never-ending feed on Instagram, that when you get to the bottom, you scroll down and there's more. There's no sense of ever completing. It's always an open loop. And so behind everything in society, behind some of the most successful tech companies in the world, lies addiction. All right, behind, you know, our career aspirations, behind our need to play a sport, wherever it is, hobbies, behind everything like that for a gambler is addiction. And we're really in today's society constantly battling between addiction and not. And I think this is where it gets dangerous. All right. So, you know, the chance to play was the drug that released dopamine. At the beginning of my career, I had a lot of losses. They weren't big. They were small. I was smart enough to logically know that I'm gonna succeed in trading through failing a lot. And this is personal, because this is how I sort of have done everything. You know, I'm lucky to be a person who, when they start something new, have the ability to learn it quickly. All right. But that's not good enough. You know, the past me, pre-2016 George, wasn't good enough to win. I just needed time to think, to analyze. That's what the reward was for me. And so, you know, even how I grew up, you know, like I was in an environment where risk-taking was really, at the end of the day, not only something not to be afraid of, but in my neighborhood, people who took the greatest risks had the biggest rewards. Right. And we're not just talking financial. Right? I have friends that have taken risks with their lives, who some of them lost those bets, some of them won those bets. You know, but at the end of the day, when you model the behavior of people around you that are succeeding, when your perception of success is different, all right, then, you know, that creates a pattern in your head. It creates an expectation that risk is necessary, not only for survival, but for the things that you want. You sort of get desensitized to risk. And you have to remember too, this is going back, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I was born in, you guys know my age, but when I was in my early 20s, this was like the, you know, early 2000s. And really, even before that, as a teenager, which was the mid to late 90s, we didn't have social media. The Facebooks, the Instagrams, none of that existed. And so what I'm trying to get at here, I think it's a good thing, but that's one of the signs you're getting older, is when you're not really adopting and embracing the new technology. But the positive of that time was, you know, we had no distractions. We had no way to see other people's success to bring down what we're doing. We had no way to get demotivated by comparing ourselves to others and needing that like, that share in order to value ourselves. That was the good. Now, the bad was the same thing. We had no way of seeing success at that time outside of walking out of my building, looking around the neighborhood and seeing what people are doing. I mean, sure, I heard stories of it. I knew of Bill Gates, I knew of people, right? But nobody that I knew in my circle as a young kid was doing things that today I could look back and say were positive. All right, now I had the chance to see something different, to believe something different. You know, some kids don't. And, you know, no matter what my story is like, other people have it worse. Other people have it better, but there's other kids who have even less opportunity based on just the neighborhood that they're in. So I say all this to tell you this, you know, risk-taking for me was not something to fear. I embraced it. I knew I was going to have to take risk. So that was one of the early points of where gambling became an addiction, because I'm okay with the risk. All right. So if you're okay to take big risk and you continuously do it and you lose, but now you look at that loss as an opportunity to analyze and actually do something you love, now you've anchored yourself that a loss traditionally from capital results in an opportunity. I wasn't trading for money. I was trading for the dopamine hit and for the ability to analyze my trading journal. All right, and having fun and cute ways of coming up with new strategies, new adjustments, you know, to fix these avoidable problems that were actually psychology rooted and not technical. Because the technicality is fun. It's easy to get distracted by. It's easy to turn on your Sierra charts, for example, or your TradingView, whatever platform you use. So I'm going to use a new indicator, learn how it works, recode it, customize it, change the colors. And it gives you an idea of progress. It gives you an idea of implementing logical fixes. But really, it's a distraction. It's a distraction from having to face the fact that you're a gambler. And behind that is addiction. Addiction to the next opportunity. You know, so this to me was deep. I had that realization through NLP work, right? I would never really have questioned it had I not been aware enough to work on myself. And, you know, when it's deeply rooted, when it happened from being a young child, you know, you rely on it. It starts becoming a survival instinct. And you don't question your survival instincts. You know, when was the last time you questioned swerving out of an oncoming car? Or avoiding an accident, you know, question that. That's subconscious. So the need to take risk and to gamble became a subconscious automated process for me. And if I had never tackled this, all right, trading would have been good, because I'm hard-headed and stubborn enough to keep doing something that doesn't work by overpowering it with logic and rules. All right. But in the back of my mind, I always knew, look, this is like, I'm getting by, I'm doing good, but I could be doing better. I had the realization, you know, and deep down, I think I knew this before even NLP, that what I was doing was never 100%. I would never have a chance to be 100% with this. I would never know what the best version of myself looked like, because I was preventing myself from hitting my potential. All right. And I was trying really hard to bury that problem, to put it down deep and not really face it and work with it, because that's harder than coming up with a few trading rules. And when I realized that, I was like, look, I'm really just feeding into my addiction. Like, how addicted do you have to be to come up with excuses and conveniences to cover up what the real problem is, right? And that's what gamblers do. It's never the problem of the person gambling. It's always the game. Oh, if I have one more shot, I'll come back. I know I can do this. But should you? Is it worth it? So I was desensitized to gambling without realizing. All right. So what did I change in my trading to fix my problem with gambling? You know, what I changed personally is a whole other topic. This is a really big deep dive, and it's a very personal story, so that one I'll save for later. But you need to know what I change in my trading to address the gambling, all right? The mentality of gambling. And the reason I'm not going to go into the story of the psychology part is because I don't want to lay out a framework that I used making you believe that you could use the same one. The last thing I would want you to do is to follow how I got, you know, a hold of my addiction and gambling tendencies, and then you fail. Because once again, that just perpetuates and influences more gambling to get out of the new failure. So if you are in a situation where you're listening to this and you realize, hot damn, I'm a gambler, I got a problem, congratulations, because at least you admit it to yourself. Now you could fix it. Now you could work with somebody who's certified in NLP, have coaching sessions, you know, start by being more self-aware, and you could really work on that aspect. That really might seem like the hardest problem, but it's the easiest one to fix and get result with. Once you deal with that, the trading fixes are easy. They become almost apparent. Once you lose your weakness, you look at what you've been doing like, oh my gosh, why didn't I see this before? You see it with a new lens. Here's what I did. 7 things I did to change my trading to fix my problem with gambling. Number one, I don't analyze trading results on winning days. Okay, I have more of them than losing days. So this is my ways of avoiding analysis paralysis. All right, this is the way of removing my roadblock. I know that I have a tendency to overanalyze, overthink things, overcompensate, overadjust, do too much. And so the way to eliminate those behaviors is to not even look at the results. If I had a good day, if I followed the plan, I don't even need to look at that data. All that's going to do is give me a distraction, waste my time, and potentially feed into the dopamine hit of getting deep into the details. All right. That's the first and most important thing. Another thing I do is I got a catchphrase. This is number two. All right. I have a catchphrase I've implemented through hypnosis. Actually, I did a hypnosis on myself for this. To be repeated when I get the 50% of my daily drawdown. So I have a drawdown limit that changes, you know, maybe it's 2000, maybe it's 5000, depending on the market conditions and my personal psychology at that point. I come up with a number for the day and I said, this is what I'm going to risk today to generate the return that I want. Okay. Know the risk. And then I've programmed myself that when the 50% point is hit, I get a voice in my head. It's my voice. Please don't be concerned for me. The chance and repeats these three words, process over profits, process over profits, process over profits, process over profits. All right. And by the time you hit 50% down, you're either trading really good, but just the market isn't giving you the conditions. It's a choppy market, or you know, you're just absolutely self-sabotaging. Hearing that statement over and over reminds you to go back to the process. Forget the profits, go back to the process. And that's what I've always done. You know, sometimes it's not enough at 50%, but I'm working on that. And the way to do that is to establish yourself like a hypnosis, right? Hypnotize yourself, put yourself, get help doing it. Don't hypnotize yourself unless you're trained for it. Implant that in your head to hit at the 50% profit marker. And you know what's amazing? You don't even have to calculate it. Your brain knows the math right away. Your brain's a super calculator. You don't have to figure out what that 50% is. Just know your loss number and it'll start to chance it at 50%. That's wild, I'm telling you. That's number two. Number three, and this is a big one, is I really just stop being so hard on myself for losing money. And, you know, when I removed the gambling habit, I perceived the losses a little bit more. You know, I had this drive again to get back and recover the losses. It's kind of where the gambling mindset started talking to me, right? But I don't beat myself up. You know, I don't call myself names. I don't doubt my abilities. I just say it is what it is. And I choose to stay positive and turn my attention to tomorrow immediately. All right. Cause that's where I could change things. The next trading day is all I have. The one after it may never come. And the one before it, I'll never get a chance for again. So it's all about tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, it switches to it's all about right now. That's the area that I have to change stuff. If you're going to change, if you're going to create, if you're going to do anything in life, it'll never be anything but right now. That's all we have. All right. And then also when I'm down money, this is when I actually analyze. This is when I pull up the trading journal. Okay, where did I get filled? I have to do some work at this point. All right. Because analysis here helps for me personally. All right. Trading. What I change in my trading to fix my gambling problem. Number four is, and this is a controversial one. You know, in a way, this does sort of read a little bit more like I'm holding on to some of those former characteristics, but lose it, spend it is what I got. Now, I don't always do this, but when I'm down an expected amount, not like an ass kicking here, I don't want to reward myself for being down money, but let's say I have a $2,000 risk for the day. If I finish $1,500 down, that's an acceptable down day. It's part of the strategy. I'm happy. You know, I'm obviously not as happy as I would be being up, but I don't really care because this is what I plan to risk for the return, and not every day goes how you expect it to or even want it to. So when I'm down an appropriate amount within my risk tolerance for the day, you know, I'll spend the money that I lost on something nice for myself. You know, some clothes. Lately, I've had some, you know, I don't know what it is, but I love the Givenchy clothes. That's kind of where I've treated myself at times. Something small that you've wanted, maybe a technology item, something that it doesn't have to be exactly the money you lost. But hey, if you're down $1,500, spend $500, $1,000, get yourself something nice. All right. And this is, again, not to justify or treat myself or to anchor myself to I'm down money, I could spend that money. This isn't a reward. What this is, it's just a reminder of what you do have, what you get to experience, the life that you do get. Something about going online, purchasing something, doesn't, you know, if it's also in, it's relative to the amount of money you're trading. So if you're down $50, hey, maybe get yourself a bag of tea, some different teas that you want from your favorite shop, something like that. It's scalable to where you're at in life. Something about spending some of that money and getting the experience that you like, make sure you enjoy it, is relieving. It's calming. It reminds you that this loss is not really that big of a deal. You're still safe. When you lose, you still get to do great things for yourself. And really, you're conditioning yourself to live through losing days as a trader by enjoying your life an equal amount. All right, that's the idea. Lose it, spend it. Now, if I lose a ton more than I planned, I'm not, you know, just because if I have a $2,000 loss target for the day, or not target, but a loss allowance, a drawdown, and I lose $50,000, I'm not going to go out there and buy $50,000 of designer clothes. That's rewarding stupidity. Right, so hopefully you get the difference. Number five, I use micros and single lock trading as conditioning stints. When I know I'm in a rut, I stop trading regardless of the market conditions. I don't care if the market's moving 6,000 points a day. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to generate profit out of it. So I just take a break from trading. And there's two ways to take a break. Just take a clean break. And I don't get a chance to do that as much because, you know, in the trading room, I got to be there and I like being there and I want to help you guys. Just because I'm not 100% doesn't mean you're not. So I need to be there and support you. And I take that as a responsibility. I take it as something that I enjoy doing and I'm, you know, responsible to show up for you. That's one way to take a break. The other way to take a break is trade a one lot. Go to micros. Heck, go to sim if you really want. You know, scale down. Something about being in front of the market but not trading is what creates the biggest learning opportunities. This is similar to the 21-day zoning challenge. When members join Trade Pro in the future side, we set a goal for them for 3 weeks to just look at the charts, draw levels, but not place a single trade. Not even think about trading. Not even pretend, hey, if I bought here, what would happen? Just sit, just watch, just wait and learn. All right? And so, you know, I implemented to myself, hey, if I'm not feeling 100%, I'm going to use the liberty to take a day to slow it down, to trade a one lot. It forces you to either be fully in or fully out with a one contract. There's no split positions. There's no multiple entries or exits, which is how you could finesse, you know, a negative day psychologically. If you could have multiple points, you could build on success, scale out, scale in. But with a one lot, you're either in or you're out. And that gets you to focus on your execution. That gets you to be more observant of the market, closer and tighter with your levels and stops. It's really a gift that we could trade smaller, right? We don't have to trade as big every single day. Now, admittedly, the days where things have gone wrong, this is the part that I've failed to do. is I said, you know what? I'm going to work through it. And again, that triggers a part of my mind that says, you know, I don't really care about the money. That's what you're saying. If you're not 100%, but you're in there slapping size and big contract positions, what you're saying is, this is not about the money. It's giving you a secondary satisfaction that you may not even know that you have or may not have addressed. So, like I said, you know, what I did, what I changed is, am I trading to fix this problem? It's not 100% fixed. You know, we're human beings. I've been conditioned through, you know, my early years to be a risk taker. You know, unfortunately, I had to be to get to where I'm at. All right. And the people around me did as well. And so I'm not going to undo conditioning from a young age in a split second. You could decide to, but it still takes time for that to happen. And I'm still working on this. You know, this is a work in progress. And it may be, you know, for the next week, might be the next 10 years, might be till the day I die. But I'll tell you this, I'm constantly working on it. And this is the thing about personal development and growth. You don't just fix the problem and walk away. You have to continue fixing. You have to continue improving. But because the second that you let go of making progress, you revert back to average. And average is not where profitable traders live. Right? You don't have to be a superhuman, but you're closer to an athlete than the average couch potato person. Right? You'll never be a couch potato. You'll never be somebody who gets comfort. But that's okay, because it doesn't get easier. You get stronger. And that spills over in other areas of your life. All right. And number seven, this one's kind of important too. I think it's a big realization for some. Get ready. I remind myself of the opportunity cost. All right. If I'm just here to gamble, if I'm just here to mess around, if I'm just here for the enjoyment of playing the game, then I'm still just playing a game. You know, I'm no different than a 16-year-old playing video games for 14 hours a day. Really, if that's what I'm doing, that's what I'm doing. And I'm not only losing money doing it, and I'm not losing my confidence gambling in the market. I'm losing all that, but it's not just that. The biggest thing that I'm losing is time. And the biggest thing that you lose as a gambler is what you could be doing instead if you just fix that problem. If you gave it some attention, if you just admitted it, say, hey, look, I'm a gambler. I'm going to fix this. All right? Because the good thing about a gambler is you're committed. You're not afraid to play the game. You're too addicted to playing the game. So when given a chance and a realization, you'll fix it. You're a committed individual. But you got to remember, if you're just gambling, the biggest thing you have to keep in mind is there's an opportunity cost for being addicted to a game. And that is what I could be doing instead. If I'm just gambling and trading, all right, it's never going to be enjoyable. It'll never feel like reliable income. It'll never produce long-term success. And so if it won't do those three things, I'm just playing a video game. And if I'm just playing a video game, what am I missing in life that I'm actually capable of doing in other areas? Imagine what you could do if you started a business instead of gambling in the market. Imagine what you could do if you followed your passion, if you started a new career. All right? Don't just gamble and hope. Think about the opportunity cost. And the moment I catch myself in gambling, oftentimes how I come through this period, even if I have the tendencies of it, even if it comes with a losing trading day, is I said, look, what could I be doing instead? All right, clearly I'm a bonehead for continuing to do this. What could I be doing with my life instead? And I'm deep in this industry. I've been doing this for a long time. Every single year that you trade, you lose, you create a gap in your resume. You become less employable in the future. I know it sounds nuts. I don't take that as a belief. It's just from an analytical perspective. Obviously, you have connections, you know, you create things for yourself. But every single year that you gamble in the market, people will look at you and say, you've done this for 5 years. Why haven't you been profitable? All right. Why do you need a job now? If you've been a trader for 5 years, why haven't you done well enough? Why are you switching careers? Do you really want the answer to be because I was addicted to gambling? All right. Because trading in the marketplace has just enough. It's built a lot of following lately, right? So it's got just enough officiality. You know, people think a trader, millions of dollars right away, right? Like in my family, people say, oh, what does your husband do? Oh, he's a trader. not understanding that my wife crushes it. You know, she's got her business and does extremely well too. So people are conditioned to believe trading equals profit, trading equals success. And that societal belief is keeping you stuck in a gambling mindset. That's the excuse that we're using as gamblers to get away with it and to continue doing this, to have just one more day of playing the game. All right. At the end of the day, guys, trading is a tough business. And if you have, or people in general have a gambling problem, we're gonna have a harder time than anyone succeeding. All right. And if you happen to have some of these tendencies, do a deep dive. Be aware enough. Be present. Ask yourself, you know, is this something that some trading rules could fix, or do I have a deep foundational problem? And if you do, you should be excited by that because you get a chance to play another game. And this one will change things for the rest of your life. If you're one of the people who realizes you're gambling, it's important to stop trading now. The realization that you're gambling is actually better to stop. You know, that's half the battle. Hey, I'm a gambler. I need to stop. You still have a chance. If you want to make excuses and continue gambling like I did at one point, you're going to continue encountering the same problem. And every single time, it'll bring you lower and lower and lower. And your urge to play the game will be higher. And your irregard of loss of capital becomes stronger. It's a deep, deep, dark spiral, right? Resolve that issue. The good news is, as soon as you decide, you're very close to getting through this challenge. The best news is you can fix it. And when you do fix it, you're not just fixing your trading, you're fixing your entire life, your relationships, every single thing in the wheel of life, career, friendships, you know, spiritual growth, everything will take a turn for the positive. All right, so stop and think, am I gambling? And what needs to happen that I'm going to do something about it or even get help? You know, because you don't have to just turn it off. You could say, okay, what will need to happen for me to know if you're not certain? And if you're certain, stop trading and get the help you need. Here's the great news. At TradePro Academy, we have a trading psychology course founded and built on the same NLP principles that helped me have this big realization and shift in the way I think and live my life. We have that available. You know, this is an investment of over $40,000 for travel, for course fees that my family's made to get certified as a master practitioner. And I apply NLP in trading. This is what the course is all about. We're going to tackle the subconscious, and you're going to get a chance to open up that subconscious brain so you too could see what the programs are, what you like, what you think you would want to change, and see a new you, a new reinvigorated, powerful, capable being. All right? That's what I got for you guys today. Thank you, Trade Pros, for listening. If you love this episode, please share it with a friend or someone who would find this message helpful on their trading mindset journey. Also, if you enjoy listening to the show, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. The next one we read on our podcast could be yours. And don't forget to join our free trading room at community.tradeproacademy.com. If you want to check out the trading psychology course I just talked about, it's the NLP trading course, go to tradeproacademy.com and have a look there for more information. Until next time, Trade Pros, good luck, good trading, manage that risk, trade like a trade pro. Take care. And goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.